Good evening. So, I don't know if I'm going to teach you anything, but I'm going to preach at you. Because I just was sitting back there and I was thinking that I don't know if I'm the New Year's preacher or what, but for the last 5 years I've preached on New Year's. It's kind of crazy. I preached last year here, and then I preached at some other churches, my wife's church, and so then that's kind of crazy. If you were here last year, I preached a message about a to-be list. Anybody remember that? Instead of, you know, we make New Year's resolutions about to do, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to lose weight. We never do. Some of us do. But whatever. And so I preached a message on a to-be list, which was, I'm going to name them, self-control, encouraging, patient, kind, joyful, pray, and thankful. That was the to-be list for this new year that we just, or the old year now, that we just had. So, how'd you do? You're working on that. That's what I got to say, Nancy. I'm working on it. I did pretty good on some and failed at some other ones. Well, tonight, I want to know, what's your objective for this new year? I'm sure you probably have one. Everybody does. For many, it's simply a new start on old habits. And for others, the whole resolution thing goes in 1 year and out the next. Right? You know, the statistics show that most people only keep their resolutions for about 3 weeks. Isn't that crazy? We're so not of our word, huh? So tonight, can I make a suggestion this year? Forget all those resolutions. Whew, pressure's off. That involved just trying to manage your sin nature or all those other resolutions, you know, from losing weight. Listen, don't twist what I'm saying. If you want to lose weight, which I do, go right ahead. But don't beat yourself up about it. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight is how about waking up tomorrow? Because it's already the January 2nd, so I think last year I preached on New Year's Day. So that kind of changes how I say that. But how about waking up tomorrow like it was the first day of your life? And it could be your last. Well, that's something to live for, isn't it? So I commit to you tonight. I charge you tonight. I preach at you tonight to commit to serving God with your whole heart. Not half-heartedly. That's my message in a nutshell tonight. That's it. No, I'm gonna get a little deeper than that. But you know, I see so many Christians. I happen to work, if some of you don't know me, I work at a Christian camp. So I'm around Christians. And I can tell you there's nothing that bothers me more than Christians that don't serve God with their whole heart. They serve Him wholeheartedly. On their job. Because see, people are watching us, aren't they? No matter where you're at, I don't care where you work, at your house, your kids are watching you. And so I hope tonight, if you get anything, this is a simple, simple message. To serve God, to make a commitment to serve God every day with your whole heart, not half-heartedly. I believe if you stick to this alone, you're going to have a great 2016, huh? You all agree with that? Let's look at God's Word. So, if you did turn to Psalm 119, when I told you to, some of you couldn't. That's where we're going to be. Isn't that crazy? Randy, you're teaching on that too, huh? Wow. God must be saying something. So, if you're Psalm 119, verses 33 through 35... Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. So I want to look at really three areas, but one I'm not going to talk about too much, about main reasons why people serve God half-heartedly. I believe there's a reason for it. Now, remember, this is my reason. You could have another one. You know, I'm not going to go out there and argue with them. There's probably more than this. But these are the ones that I observe as a Christian pastor, executive chef at a Christian camp. These are the three that I come up with. So the first one, we're going to call it, if you're taking notes, move on. Move on. I know that looking back can bring up guilt and regrets, the sorrows, sins, and silly slip-ups in your face that haunt you like a recurring nightmare. Yet, I encourage you to look back for this reason. I want you to all close your eyes tonight, right now. Close your eyes. And I want you to look back at this year. I want to give you, like, I don't know how long I'm going to give you, a minute or two of silence. But I want you to go back from this year for one reason and one reason only, to see God's grace, His mercy, love, and patience with you. Take a moment. I want to go on so they don't think that something happened to the tape. Well, you could do this later, but I just wanted you to take a... Did some of you see some grace and mercy with... You know, I don't know about you, but if we was just knowing God from the Old Testament and seeing how times He reacted with people's sin, I don't know about you, but I'm maybe lucky or blessed to be standing here, huh? Huh? Can anybody say that besides me? Yeah? Awesome. I'm not the only sinner here. Wow. Imagine that. Oh, I'm being funny. You can laugh. So, I want you to remember that God is the God of second chances. Isn't He? And can I just say something? How about third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh? Can we keep going, huh? Isn't that awesome? And so that's the reason I wanted you to look back. And if you want to take some more time tonight when you get home. But here's the thing. I want you to move on. Because the past is past. We can't go back there and redo it, can we? And so, like the Apostle Paul did, I want you to look at Philippians with me. Chapter 3, if you turn there, please. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. But one thing I do, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Wow, isn't that an awesome? So if Paul could do it, we surely can. You know, Paul was a lot like us. He did look back and he saw things in his life he wasn't so proud of. You know, he might have went back in 1 year. But you know what Paul used to do? He used to kill, persecute Christians. And so I believe when he wrote this, he was thinking of that. But now he found Jesus. And he's not looking back no more. He's not looking back. instead of dwelling on the past, he made a decision to move on, forgetting because the past is past. Paul looked towards the future, though, not in a ridiculous, useless kind of resolution sort of way, but in a dedicated, determined way that takes seriously the high calling of God. As a believer, we're left on this earth to advance God's kingdom one day, one life at a time. Wow, that's pretty powerful. That's what Paul made a resolution to do. How about you? I would hope and pray that it would be yours this year. The next thing I want to talk about, why people don't serve God wholeheartedly, is I believe they're misdirected. I call this one, if you're taking notes, misdirection. I recently read an article where a street magician talked on the power of misdirection. Our brains have difficulty focusing on two things at once. Some of you might know that, huh? And magicians exploit this by drawing our attention to one thing so that we don't notice that they're doing something else. You ever seen a magician show? Anybody ever seen one? Yeah. On TV. To prove this in a video, the magician so dazzled the audience with a series of magic tricks that they failed, listen to this, to realize that he had actually changed his clothes during the performance right in front of him. And nobody noticed. Well, that's pretty much misdirection if I ever saw it, huh? Isn't that? Well, you know the enemy does that to us. He misdirects us. Because he does not want you to serve God wholeheartedly. He really wants you to serve him half-heartedly. Or, as I call, sorry if I'm talking about you, but you know, I want to say this. You know, I believe that we come in and out of these. We might serve God wholeheartedly for a while, and then we get misdirected, right? Or we would get, we go back. We get caught up and dwell on something that happened, our sin, whatever it is, and we beat ourselves up. Or we let others beat us up, or whatever. But that's one way we can get misdirected. You know, the enemy did this with even Christ when he tempted him, if you think about it. Because right before the temptation of Christ by Satan, if you remember what happened, Jesus was baptized. We're not going to go there for time's sake. And right when he was baptized, anybody remember what happened? God from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased." Do you remember that? I'm going to just show you how he misdirected Jesus then. Do you remember when he tempted him? He always says, "If you are the Son of God." He wanted Jesus to not think of who he was. He wanted to make him feel like he was somebody else but that. He did the same thing to Eve in the garden, and Adam, did he not? He misdirected them. Did God really say that? Instead of focusing, he took their focus off God loving him and wanted them not to eat of it because he knew about what would happen. He took it off and made them doubt and misdirected them. You see that? Everybody see that? He does it with us all the time. He misdirects us so that we don't serve God wholeheartedly. You know, in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. Jesus commented on, he was teaching people about the seeds. You know, the four seeds, planting the seeds, and then he interpreted it to them. Well, one of them, he said this, and I believe this is one of the reasons how people get misdirected. The cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Don't people get misdirected with things in their life? If you were here, it wasn't last week because we didn't have church, but the week before I preached on the storms of life.
part two. Anybody remember that? You already forgot it. No, some of you are shaking your head, huh? Doesn't he like to misdirect us with a storm? Because some of the storms, as I mentioned, come from the enemy. Some of them, and if you think about it, none of them can come from the enemy without God allowing them to. Am I right? That's a whole other message. But I hope you see that storms come in our life to misdirect us. So we can maybe feel sorry for ourselves, have a pity party, whatever the case. But I hope you see that we get misdirected. We get off track, whatever word you want to say. And it's easy for that. I believe that one happens probably more than anything. And like I say, these are interchangeable. We can get misdirected because we didn't let go of something and we didn't move on. And so we're misdirected because of something, a storm, a problem, a person. You have bitterness towards someone, whatever. We could get misdirected. So we're not serving God with our whole heart. We're serving Him half-heartedly or not at all. Or as Jesus said in Revelation, lukewarm instead of being on fire, huh? We don't ever want to be cold, right? But what did Jesus say about being lukewarm? That it made Him sick to His stomach, huh? You know what I call that? I have another name for that. I used to preach to youth all the time, and I just call it, you're a worthless Christian. Have you ever thought about that? If you're so caught up in whatever it is, and you're not serving God wholeheartedly, you're pretty worthless to the kingdom, aren't you? Aren't you? You're being a bad example. Whether it's at your work, at home, in church, wherever it is, if you've been misdirected so badly that you're off track and you're not serving God with your whole heart, you're kind of worthless. Guess what I call that? Being in the grandstands instead of being a player. You see, God wants you to get in the game. He wants you to get in the game of serving Him and being a reflection of His image to others. But if you're in the grandstands, if you're misdirected, or you're caught in the past, you're not doing those. You're not reflecting His image. You're reflecting yourself, which is not too pretty sometimes, is it? You know, one time I preached this simple message like this. Little different title, little different way, to little kids. That's where I started. Probably, oh my gosh, Martin, got to be 25, 30 years ago. I started with little kids at our church. Actually, they were from about first grade to sixth grade. And I remember preaching this message to these kids about stuff like this. And this was way before the Jesus bracelets come out about what was it? What would Jesus do? Yeah, I could have invented this. But all I did is got a purple string that my wife made for me. And we put them on every little kid. And that comes right from the Bible. I'm not going there. This is on the spot right now. This is not in my notes or nothing. But we went, we put them on every kid, and we said, this is to remind you to live a holy and pure life, to reflect God's image. So we're going to go out and do this for a week, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about this. So we did this, and oh, it was so funny to listen to some of these little kids. I remember one little kid would say, Mr. Don, I wanted to tear that thing off because I wanted to fight my sister. And I just heard story after story of how convicting this little string on their wrist was. And it was amazing. And it's no different. It's these things like this. All the things around us that misdirect us and get us off serving God wholeheartedly. Because like I said, when we're not serving God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, we're not being a very good example. And I remember telling this to the little kids, and I said, what if Mr. Don followed you all week long and was invisible? You might have heard, I think I preached this sometime before in a message here. And we came back a week later, and we played it on the big screen. Who in here would raise their hand last week? We won't go back a year. Just last week, and you can say, play it, Don. Not even me. There's things that we do that we shouldn't do, huh? the way we talk to our wife, our kids, people that we work with, thoughts we have, things we watch, we get misdirected all the time. Sin is a misdirection, isn't it? Because God wants us to live holy, pure lives. That's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. As he who has called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Guys, I struggle with that too. I want you to know I'm preaching to myself right now. On the spot. No notes. I'm totally preaching it from my heart. Because we have a problem with that, right? There wasn't one person that could raise their hand. Some of you, maybe you could, but you didn't want to be cocky, huh? But we should all raise our hands, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? So I don't know if you're just as scared to raise your hand, or we all got a problem in this church. We need to get holier, huh? Which one is it? Holier? Amen. I'm with you. I want you to know I'm with you. So, how do we serve God with our whole heart? Let's look back at our scripture at 119. 33 through 35. Everybody there? I'm going to change this now. I'm going to take out some words. And you know, when I study God's Word, sometimes I have like five or six Bibles. I have this one Bible that has four, what are they called? Translations, yeah. And then I have another Bible. Sometimes I might get six. I just love to see what words they put in for other words sometimes. The change, just how we speak now sometimes, you know. Does anybody else like to do that but me? Yeah, I love doing that. Because we don't talk the same way we do like in the old King James, huh? You know, that's what I started on in the old King James. I had to totally change. You know, I could quote King James, thou's and these all the time. But I had to learn all new different when I started to go to another church. They used the New King James, took out all those these and thous. So I did this just to make you maybe understand it, see it better. I only changed four words in the whole passage, and I put word in there, the word. Because if you think back then, they didn't have God's word. They had some of it, but not like we have, not the whole book, did they? And so that's why I want to change that and put word. And then I changed one of the word do. So I'm going to read it again. And I got that from five translations to do this. So I don't do this like, oh, you changed God's word. No. Somebody else did. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your word, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your word and do it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your word, for I delight in it. Wow, doesn't that make you see it a little better? Or is it just me? I'm the only dummy in here. You know, I would suggest if you have a Bible and if you only use one, you might put word in there. Because I think that just makes it so much clearer. So, we know. It's pretty simple. Being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's how we serve God with our whole heart. We just can't pick and choose what we want to do in there, can we? He wants us to live it all. All of it. He never said it was easy. He never promised that it was easy. But he wants us to serve God with our whole heart, our whole soul. You know, at Ponderosa, I've been blessed through the years. I just celebrated 15 years there. And through the 15 years, I have been so blessed to come and see volunteers that come to Ponderosa to serve God there. They come from all over the country. We've even had some from our church, like, I don't want to embarrass you, Marco, in Virginia. I won't call your name out. But people that come there and just want to serve God. They want to be part of the action. They don't want to be a spectator. They want to get in the action. But a particular woman that I want to talk about just for a moment, and her husband that came there for, oh, I want to say 7, 8, 10 years, somewhere in there. You talk about a dear old saint. You talk about someone that I saw with my own eyes serve God wholeheartedly. What an example. To me, my children, all the young kids that work for me, her name was Nancy. I'm sorry if I get emotional. I knew I was going to do this. She just died not long ago. I didn't know I was going to do this. I miss her so much. You talk about reflecting God's image. Marty and I flew to her funeral. No, excuse me, it wasn't a funeral. It was a celebration of her life. And I was so blessed to share a moment because it was packed. And they had people share. And the cool thing was, and that's why I'm saying this, I got to see she served God wholeheartedly her whole life. It wasn't just at Ponderosa for the 7 or 10 years she came there. It was her whole life. There was testimony after testimony after testimony of how she served God. You know, one that I think of at Ponderosa, she was in her 70s, late 60s when she came there. And she did not have good health. That's what blew me away. And her husband, Russ, and you can't hardly speak of Nancy without Russ. That's one thing I said at, I remember at the service, is like, how can you talk about Nancy without Russ? They were just one. They used to run the snack shop. And at Ponderosa, we have a rule for everyone that if they eat there, we give like all of our staff. In the summertime, we might run 30, 40 staff on any given day. That they're supposed to help clean up the dining hall. We give them a free meal. They can at least do that, huh? Do you know that these people sometimes, especially on a Friday night, they had to eat early because of their health, would run the snack shop during our meal because kids would run out of the dining hall and run to the snack shop and get stuff. They would run up to Ponderosa, up to the dining hall, and help us wipe tables down. And they didn't even eat. Do you know that used to just blow me away? Because I have a hard time getting people that I'm paying to do it, let alone people that are, they're not even eating. And I could tell stories all day about her. But talk about someone that served God wholeheartedly. I'm going to tell you another person in our church that I see that serves God wholeheartedly. How about Debbie McGar? How about the way she is so passionate with the children's ministry? I got to see her up in action at Ponderosa. She brought 250 kids, and she's just like that there too. And she serves God with her whole heart. Would you say an amen to that? And guys, I'm going to stop there because there's more of you out there, but I, for time's sake, unless you want me, raise your hand, you want me to brag on you. But you better make sure you live up to it. Debbie did not pay me to say that, so. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. But before I do, because we're going to take communion tonight, I want to read you a prayer that I found. I know I preached this somewhere in 2009. I don't know where I was, but I remember it could have been to my youth. But I found this prayer of an African pastor that was killed because of his faith. I edited it a bit because it was quite lengthy for time's sake. But this sums up serving God wholeheartedly instead of half-heartedly. Listen to this prayer. I'm going to read it kind of slow. It's kind of like a confession prayer. You know what I mean by that? Claiming who you are in Christ Jesus. You'll see what I mean. Listen to this. I am part of the fellowship of the unshamed. I have stepped over the line. This decision has been made. I am a disciple of His, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My time now makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, small planning, smooth knees. I like that, smooth knees. I hope some of you get that. Ordinary talking and cheap living. I no longer need prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be perfect, right, or first, tops, recognized, praised, or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by faith, lifted by prayer, and guided by the Holy Spirit. My face is set. My walk is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow. My way rough. My companions few. But my guide is reliable. And my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate at the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, shut up, that's me, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. When He does come on His own, when He does come for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. Wow. Is that pretty awesome? I was going to print that and give it all to you tonight, but I'm sorry I didn't. But if you want to, I can get a copy to you. So this new year is an amazing opportunity for us to look ahead and resolve to live each day like it is our last. When we focus on serving God wholeheartedly each day, no matter what of the year, will not be wasted. And if we could live half of what that African pastor prayed, wow, we could turn this community upside down, couldn't we? Are you excited about this new year? I think all of the wonderful things that God wants to do in your life, and feel confident that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until He is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's Philippians 1:6. If you guys would come now for communion. Let's pray before they start up with some worship, and you guys could come. I just want to say something about communion that's, I guess it's kind of a, if you call it pet peeve, it's basically the Bible. The Bible tells us before we take communion that we should examine ourselves. And sometimes we don't say that in churches. I believe we should, to remind people that you never want to take it unworthy. And so as you sit there tonight, maybe you might think of something that you need to, what was the word I used? Move on from. Maybe it's some move on from some sin. But whatever the case, maybe it's whatever. But you definitely need to confess your sins. You know, it's wonderful that the Bible tells us in 1 John, the first chapter, the 9th verse, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful, even though we haven't been faithful, to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I pray that you would take this quiet moment to do that. Amen. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, very familiar communion passage. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Let us take the bread. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us take the cup. If you have your Bible, before we close, if you turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, I'm going to start in verse 8. Chapter 28 and 8. Now this is David giving instructions to Solomon. And I want you, as we look at this, as we close tonight, I want you to look at this straight from God, because it applies for us today. You know, in this passage, you're going to see where David used the temple. Well, in the New Testament, what is the temple? Us. Yeah. So listen to this passage. "So now with God as our witness, and in the sight of all Israel, the Lord's assembly, I give you this charge. I, Pastor Don, give you this charge, you guys. To carefully to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. And Solomon, my son, and God's people, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously." I like that. "The Lord has chosen you to keep yourself a temple, holy and pure. Be strong and do the work of serving God wholeheartedly." I put that in there. Drop down now to verse 20. Then David continues, he says, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly." Doesn't that apply to us? God's work in the lives of his people now? Amen. You know, I'm going to end with this. You know, right before I came tonight, I had the TV on. I was going to try to take a nap, and I was praying, and I had the TV really low, but I heard this, and I just thought it was so cool. Anybody know who Dick Vitale is? Famous announcer. He used to be a coach. They call him Dickie V. You talk about a guy that's passionate. He was saying, to be a team player, he was talking about sports. But I'm like, oh, well, I'm putting this in here tonight. He's talking about being a team player. Remember I told you not to be a Christian spectator? He said this, "Tough times means you need to get tougher." I like that. To be a champion, don't be a Christian spectator. Get in the game. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I praise you I thank you for your word, which sometimes is harsh and convicting to us when we see how far we fall short of. But God, we know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who is our strength. Lord, I pray that you'd help every single person here to live this life, to serve you wholeheartedly, that they might reflect your image in everything they say and everything they do, that others might see you in them in this new year. I pray that they would be conscious. I pray that they would wake up every morning thinking like this, thinking that people are watching me and they need to reflect your image. So I pray for them, Lord God. Help them through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, purposely put on their heart to get in your word, to know you more, to serve you and be a doer of it. I ask this for them, Lord God, for every day of this new year and the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.